73733.
ESPN 1063.
WESP Jupiter, a Good Karma Brands radio station. Huddle up.
66 Hitch X Vegas Flair. I'm one, ready?
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby! Boom!
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Fire the cannons!
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Well, we're at 10 o'clock on the dot. Jacksonville's already going to lose, so Colin's in a good mood. Colin Russo, Cade Chumsen. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Welcome into Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. We are at City Place. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. Got you for the next hour as we got some good NFL Week 7 storylines to follow along on and a London game over at Wembley Stadium, the last of the London series between the Los Angeles Rams and the Jacksonville Jaguars as the LA Rams just scored again. So it's going to be 14-0 in the first quarter. Good start for Jacksonville. Oh my God, what a disgrace. Nonetheless, Hard Rock Bet, do not bet Jacksonville live bet on the Hard Rock Bet, but you can bet a bunch of other things on the Hard Rock Bet app. You download it today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Get started today because if you put just $5 in the app, you win that first $5 bet. You get $150 in bonus bets immediately. If you refer a friend, get an extra $50 right then and there, easy as well. You got the ALCS tonight, game 6. You got good late night slate. You got a good Sunday afternoon slate in 4 o'clock. You got 2 Monday night football games tomorrow. You got the NBA starting here in a couple of days. You got so much to look forward to, so much to bet on, so much fun to be had. String along a bunch of bets, put together a parlay, and you can tag along on other people's parlays on the Discover page. It is that easy on the app. That's Hard Rock Bet. It is offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. All right, Cade, we got a couple storylines to follow. Number one, we'll start early. We'll get into the London. There's nothing to break down the London game, by the way. 14-0. It was the worst quarter Jacksonville's played all year. This is... You know what's funny? You know what? There is something to do. You know what's funny? The Rams got to London yesterday. So they had two opposite travel schedules. Jacksonville, they lost at home on Sunday, at home to the Seattle Seahawks. They got in the plane Monday to go to London, spent the whole week in London, right? All right? Get your bodies adjusted. There's one way to do it. The LA Rams, who played at Baltimore last week, stayed in Baltimore, practiced at a baseball stadium, Camden Yards. They practiced at Camden Yards up and through Friday. And on Friday night, took a red eye over to London, got to London at 9 a.m. on Saturday. 14-0 first quarter. Which travel schedule you think is making the big deal now, big difference now? Everybody was like, oh, the Rams are not going to be ready to play. Nonsense. Nonsense.
Has nothing to do with it.
Travel schedule? Oh, it totally does.
Well, it does, but like I don't think in this game it did. I think the Rams are just better.
I think they spent too much time in London.
You think the Jacksonville Jaguars did?
They should have came. They should have gotten to the stadium. They should have landed in London this morning. And
are you assuming they were like doing stuff in London that they shouldn't have been doing?
Yeah, because it happened when they played the Eagles 2 years ago. They were out partying in the middle of the night, and somebody got like into a fight, and then one of them got arrested. Oh God, it was a nightmare. It happens. These guys hang out in London. It's a vacation. They should have gotten to London yesterday. That travel schedule makes a difference. This is a team that plays, they're, 9-10 hours away? This is at 6:30 in the morning in Pacific time. How are they playing well right now? That is a disgrace. It's 6:30 in the morning. They're 6 hours past their time. They're 6 hours past their time more. It's 5 plus 3. That's 8. Oh, my God.
But do you know how they do that, though?
How do they do what?
How they adjust like so quickly?
They shock their body, yeah.
You stay up during the middle of the night and then you sleep during the day and then when you wake up next morning already ready to play.
They didn't do the form of get your bodies adjusted, give them a week, let them get adjusted to the time difference. They instead thought, we'll be exhausted the day after, but we're going to shock our bodies that first day. All right. Not a good start. Nonetheless, the 1 o'clock slate for the NFL has got to be the worst it's been all year in terms of these games. Let's put this through for a second. 1 o'clock slate today. The Dolphins and the, well, we, there's a storyline with the Dolphins and the Browns. That opens things up on CBS in Cleveland. It's going to be 50-mile-an-hour winds and rain. All right, so there's game number one. Game number two, the 1-5 New Orleans Saints going to the Chicago Bears. Another game at 1 o'clock. The 4-2 Patriots, who have played great, going to the 1-5 Titans. Another game. You got a divisional matchup, which is usually a good game, but it's the 2-4 Raiders, who haven't been very good this year, against the 3-3 Chiefs, who have played a lot better in the last couple of weeks. Then the last two games of the 1 o'clock slate are the 3-3 Panthers, who are 0-3 on the road, going to take on the winless Jets post-London. And then you got the 4-2 Eagles, who have lost two in a row, against the 3-2 Vikings, who are reeling with injuries. Wow. Wow. Not great. Dolphins-Browns. How about this? Let me pose you a question, kid. That game is going to be one of those games. It's going to be 9-7. Especially with the weather, with the amount of bad publicity that has come from the Dolphins and the Browns camp throughout the week. Browns with Flacco playing great on Thursday Night Football. Dolphins with the Tua comments. Go down the list. Does the loser of this game, the team that falls to 1-6, do they, in your mind, I mean, they probably both will, but do they, in your mind, have the green light to midseason blow it up?
Yeah, it's which team is going to speed up the timeline a little bit to blowing it up.
I would make the argument that full green light. Whoever loses this game, full green light.
Yeah, because each side is saying you cannot lose to this team. Like, if you're the Browns...
Can't lose this game.
You can't lose this game. If you're the Dolphins, you definitely cannot lose this game because it's the Browns. The Browns at least have the persona of losing. And if you're the Browns, you're like, okay, this is your best chance to win a game all season long, especially since they've been in a few of these games and have seriously not been able to pull anything out. If you're the Miami Dolphins and you lose this game, McDaniel's gone. Tua should be gone. Several defensive people are probably going to be out and defensive staffmen.
And the floodgates are open. Yes. Brian Callahan's done. He's done in Tennessee. They got rid of him. Yep. The floodgate, you're not the first. All right, you're not opening up anything here.
Yep.
This has already happened. I mean, if you want to talk about an embarrassing loss, look no further than losing to Dillon Gabriel, the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. I know the weather's going to stink, and it's going to be one of those games where it's just going to be muddied and uglied up. But what if they lose this game, what does that tell you? Especially if they don't even play hard. What does that tell you?
And then if you're the Browns, you're playing a team that is actively trying to give the ball to the other team.
Right.
Tua literally can't help himself but throwing the ball to the other team in clutch situations. So the Cleveland Browns are going to get help from Tua in this game, most likely, with a good defensive pass rush. Tua is going to have a miserable day, plus with the weather. If you're the Cleveland Browns and you cannot run the ball at all with Judkins today, which is going to be their main form of offensive production, then everything's got to go.
This game favors Cleveland. They got a 100% better defense and a better run game. You know, A-Chain's playing great, but they got a better defense. And if you're looking at the quarterbacks, Tua's a better quarterback than Dillon Gabriel is. But with the weather, that's going to mediate things pretty quickly. The loser of this game has got to blow it up. I would say both of these teams need to blow it up. But if you're Cleveland, you know what this is? If they lose this game and they stink again and they can't move the ball offensively and nothing works, Shedeur Sanders is going to get a rip.
I 100% agree. I was about to say that next.
Shedeur Sanders is going to get a rip. I don't know if maybe this is a little early. Maybe they give him another week after this because you're like, what are you going to perform in a Category 3 hurricane? But if they cannot move the ball, once again, they're going to panic. On top of the Flacco pressure, Joe Flacco, they trade in division. I have no problem with them trading Flacco. Everybody was under the impression that the Browns should have gotten rid of Joe Flacco. And you can't revise history and say that, oh, they should have kept him around because Flacco's a good player. Flacco is a good player when he has good players around him. He has always been that. But Cleveland's offense stinks. He was terrible for them. They moved on from him. The problem that Cleveland did is they traded him down the road. He drove to Cincinnati. He didn't even have to fly. He drove there. You can't send him interdivision because now everything he does positively for the Bengals is just a crap storm of PR for the Browns. This is just what it looks like. And now you got the external laughingstock figure that the Browns are. On top of losing a game like this, you got 100 different quarterbacks. The coach hasn't done anything. The general manager stinks. And that's not even bringing up Miami. You want to talk about which game of these 1 o'clock slates actually has a lot of implication? Look no further than the Cleveland game. Because if one team is that much worse than the other one, that team, I'd be shocked if that brass makes it through the week.
I actually disagree a little bit with the Joe Flacco stuff because I don't think it's as huge of a deal that he's traded in division. Now, considering these two teams had physically never traded with each other, quarterbacks in the history of their franchises is something for sure. But imagine if Joe Flacco was traded to the New York Jets and succeeded there. Cleveland Browns get equally as much press for how poorly they handle Flacco.
The one thing I'll say is interdivision, though, they're helping a division. This is a division rival they're talking about.
Yes.
And now that Flacco game on Thursday night seemingly keeps them alive in the playoff race.
Yes. But it also hurts the Steelers' chances of making it to the playoffs. It hurts the Ravens. It causes more chaos for the other three teams in the division.
But it's if you're thinking, oh, I'd rather, you know, hurt the Steelers than help the Bengals. I mean, both those teams might be pretty good.
I don't think they care. I don't think the Cleveland Browns care about.
I think they should. I think you're right. I don't think they care. And
they know they're the bottom of the barrel, and so they don't necessarily care what goes on above them. They're worried about their own time right now. And I think if Flacco succeeds in a different, maybe a worse environment.
But it looks so much worse for them because Flacco, you're trading him to the one spot that was a quarterback away. You want to bury him on the Jets? Go right ahead. And the Jets could have played him, and he probably would have stunk there. It's good because he's in Cincinnati with an offense with a plethora of talent. They have a lot of talent. You know, and Flacco's the type of player where he understands the game. You have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Chase Brown, Yoshivas. You have players. Just throw it to them 35 times, and then the game will figure itself out.
Yeah, but Jake Browning wasn't doing that, and at the time you could have
If Flacco was a better player than Jake Browning.
But not at the time they weren't. Jake Browning and Joe Flacco were playing at the exact same level when Flacco was with Cleveland, Jake Browning was with the Cincinnati Bengals. Who knew Flacco was going to go off and ball out? He could have equally thrown the same amount of interceptions.
Here's the thing. Jake Browning is not playing well in Cincinnati with all that talent. Flacco was playing poorly with Cleveland with the worst offense in probably the league around him. It's all situation. And with Cleveland and how bad the situation was, it just makes it look that much worse that they weren't able to squeeze any sort of positivity from Joe Flacco this year. And then not only that, hand deliver him to a division rival and keep them alive in the playoff race. I don't think that. I think that is as bad of a PR storm as you could probably put together.
If the rivalry is not a rivalry right now because Cleveland's so bad, does it matter that much?
Yeah, because it's a team they don't like. It's the other team in Ohio. Like that's where it just looks that much worse. If he comes back in and beats Cleveland, beats Pittsburgh again, keeps them alive, then all of a sudden we see Joe Burrow in the postseason. You don't think that's going to piss off the Brown fan? It should. And thinking the only reason that this team is here is because of what we hand delivered to them in Joe Flacco.
Could have been any other team in any other situation that played the rest of the
year. That's fine. Don't make it a team that has that much connection to you. It's like, don't trade right next to you. It's the same thing with any other team. If you're going to ship off a good player, ship him to the other conference. We don't want to deal with you.
That totally matters to any other team in the NFL right now. It doesn't matter for the Cleveland Browns because they're literally one of the worst teams in the NFL.
You know why it does matter? Because that's another piece in the cog that will force ownership to make a move. To make a change.
Good. In hindsight, that's fantastic.
Okay, well, we're thinking about you're talking about the Browns don't care. They should care because this is part of the reason that they're probably all going to be fired because the team stinks. And not only that, the player that was on the team that everybody said, oh, he stinks. No, he goes to the other place. He's actually pretty good. It's all about the team. This shows organizational instability. That will trickle down and probably blow the whole operation up if I had to make a guess. I understand what you're saying. It shouldn't matter because they have their own internal problems that they have to worry about 1,000 times over before the external things. I get that. But if you're talking about expediting a process of getting rid of front office coaching, if there is making a team look bad, making a team look foolish, not even making them look bad, foolish, that is what the Browns did. If they traded them to the Jets, or if they traded him to a team that was to the Niners and a team that was maybe quarterback needy and he goes and plays pretty well for them and Browns ended up finding their quarterback, it's not a big PR nightmare. It's not. Because they couldn't get anything out of a 40-year-old quarterback. They have two rookie quarterbacks they wanted to get a rip to. It's a problem that it's in the division and that it's a team that Brown fans don't like, that Bengal fans don't like, and all the other divisional teams are sitting there looking at the Browns thinking, what the hell are you doing? That's what I would say. I understand your point.
I think if, like, because he was traded 2 weeks ago. So if Flacco goes with the Jets into London and beats the Broncos, I think that is equally as much of a nightmare for the Browns. That's all I'm saying.
I disagree. Yeah, I disagree. I think the fact that it was interdivision, it just makes it look that much worse. Really do. Jacksonville barely gets past midfield, down 14-0, about to punt it back over to the Los Angeles Rams with 11:15 to go in the second quarter in London. How about that? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. As for the 4 o'clock games you have today, you got a couple good ones. You got the Giants, who the last time we saw them knocked off the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. They're going to the Broncos, and they're taking on the Broncos fresh off of a international game. And then you got the Colts going to the Chargers the second time this year, second time in a month that they're actually going to SoFi Stadium in L.A. The Fox game of the week, you got two good ones. You got the Packers at the Cardinals, and you got the Commanders at the Cowboys. Is the Colt-Charger game the game you're most looking at today with the most implication, Cade?
Not with the most implication, but the one I'm looking forward to the most, because I think that is two good offenses. Now, the Chargers are injured so much right now that we're not truly seeing the full Chargers team. But I think the game with the more implications to it is Washington-Dallas, because I think if Dallas loses this game, they're done. I think if Dallas wins this game, they have a chance to not only for the division and getting into the NFC playoffs, but potentially making a run at either getting a divisional, at a wild card win, or potentially an NFC championship game. That offense can do it. It's the defense that has all the questions, and they're going against a very injury-riddled Washington Commanders team. I'm very curious to see what Dallas does. While the Colts and Chargers will probably be the better game, I'm actually looking forward to most with an implicating matchup would be Dallas and Washington.
Yeah, Dallas, last week losing to the Carolina Panthers was pretty inexcusable, and for a team that has a difficult enough schedule, especially in the later part of the year, they still have to play the Lions, they still have to play the Chiefs, they still have to play the Eagles, they still have to play the Chargers. They play a lot of good teams still remaining on schedule. This is a divisional game at home. This is probably a series you need to split. And if you want to be in the mix for a wild card, berth, or, you know, going to 3-3-1, that's not terrible for Dallas. The problem with Dallas is every single game this year outside of basically the New York Jets, they've given up about 30 points.
Oh, yeah.
So even if the offense stinks, you're going to have your opportunities to score. Now, the good news is Dallas can score with anybody. They could score with anybody. You got to give Brian Schottenheimer a little bit of credit there, first-year head coach. He has unlocked something in that offense. They are hurt, and they're still able to score. And that should keep them in the game, but until they figure out their defensive issues, and I know Trayvon Diggs is not playing today, the cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys, until they figure out their defensive issues, you said, implicating whether they might be dead or not. I don't think this Dallas Cowboy team can do anything unless they make a big defensive change, really. They're going to need to make one or two impact trades in order to elevate this defense. And I know they've been hurt. I know they haven't had their corners basically for the majority of the year. I know they traded Micah Parsons. It's not an easy spot to be in if you're Dallas. But, oh my goodness. And you know, the defensive coordinator is Matt Eberflus, former Bears head coach who got fired after the Thanksgiving game last year. That is an awful defense. One of the worst in the actual NFL. But you're right. In terms of implicating game, the Commanders fall somehow to 3-4. That is not a good spot if you're Washington, because the NFC East, with the Giants playing a little bit better, yes, it's a little bit more open. Maybe the Eagles have bled a little bit. But if you're looking at the schedule for the Washington Commanders, their next couple games, at Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions. So that's three hard games in a row on top of the Dallas on the road. Now, they finish it off fairly easy comparatively, but they also finish off the year with four straight divisional games. If you're Washington, what are you looking for? 9 wins? 9-10 wins? You get 10 wins, you might get to the postseason. I don't know if they'll get there. I don't think they'll get there. I think that's going to be a one-bid division.
Yeah. I said we talked about Washington quite a bit last week, and I told you that I'm not necessarily worried about them, and sure enough, they went and they put up 27 unanswered points against the Los Angeles Chargers in L.A., and I'm like, yep, like I said, not worried about Washington. But if you lose today with a losing record after week 7 against a divisional opponent in their building, not a great look. So, like I said, if Dallas loses, I think they're out. If Washington loses, I am going to be very worried if they can crawl back into it.
Been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they are the type that fights for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They could get yours too, and all it is a phone call away. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. They are the best in the business for a reason. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control with Anajar and Levine. Oh, my goodness. A punt return for a touchdown for Jacksonville, down 14-0, but a flag on the play.
Yeah, that's Jacksonville.
That's definitely going to be a block in the back. Let's see. Is this going to be on the kicking team? Lord, if you're listening, please let this be on the punting team. please let this be on the punting team. I'm not seeing any sort of indication from the referees. Nobody's walking backwards on Jacksonville's side yet. They don't know what's going on. Ah, this looks to be on Jacksonville. Block in the back. Jacksonville. Wonderful. Wonderful. Wow. Getting the ball back here. I guess they're not dead yet. 10 to go in the second quarter, down 14-0. My Jacksonville Jaguars. One of the worst losses. Oh, it was the first blocker, too, who blocked in the back. Wow. Unbelievable. We'll do a little headline hierarchy with Cade on the other side of things. Rank our top five headlines of the week. We'll also blitz the book. And what we'll do is we're going to do our quick look, looking into week 7, the big storylines presented by Jay Zolo and Associates.
Time now for a quick look, presented by the QuickBooks Pro Experts at Jay Zolo and Associates. Since 1997, Jay Zolo & Associates has been helping Palm Beach County businesses with their accounting and bookkeeping needs. From expert QuickBooks services to getting your business finances in order, their team has the knowledge and experience to help.
Quick look presented by Jay Zolo & Associates, the leading certified QuickBooks Pro advisor firm. All right, looking into week 7, we have an implicating London game, a rare international game between two potential playoff contending teams. The 4-2 Rams against the 4-2 Jacksonville Jaguars. Rams up early. Early second quarter, 14-0 is the score there. All right, this is a tale of two different things. All the good teams that are playoff implicating are playing a lot later in the day, while a lot of the bad teams are buried at 1 o'clock. What we have in the 1 o'clock game, want to talk about implication? Look no further than the Miami Dolphins, our local Miami Dolphins, who are going to Cleveland. In Cleveland, taking on Dylan Gabriel and the Cleveland Browns. I've seen up to 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts. Some rain. It's going to be a slippery, wet, and muddy one in Cleveland. I don't know if that favors the Miami Dolphins, but I would also say the loser of this game, a lot of pressure internally and externally to make a change at leadership. We'll see if one or both of these teams end up making a move here later on in the year. Another big game to look forward to with the Eagles. Eagles have lost two straight after starting undefeated. A bad game at MetLife against the New York Giants about 10 days ago. Eagles have reset a little bit, maybe get a little healthier defensively. Can they respond? They're going to U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, taking on the Minnesota Vikings, sitting at 3-2. All eyes are going to be looking at the passing attack. Can they stay consistent? Can they share equal opportunity to all their playmakers, not just be a passing team versus just a running team? Can they be both? That is the real question there. The 5-1 loss. The Indianapolis Colts are going to Los Angeles to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. 5-1, the Colts are. Chargers 4-2. Chargers were fortunate last week that they had the Miami Dolphins sort of hand away a game. Chargers have been reeling. They started 3-0 with three divisional wins, and ever since, they haven't looked like the same team with a lot of injuries, especially to that offensive line. The Colts, on the other hand, they're so lost in that stadium at SoFi Stadium to the Los Angeles Rams. Are they going to lose twice in the same stadium within a month? All eyes on Indianapolis if they could win on the road and improve to 6-1. The night game tonight, the 3-2 Atlanta Falcons, who have been the tale of two teams. This is a team that lost 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers, but then turned around and beat Buffalo handedly last week on Monday Night Football. This is a team that is going to be back in the primetime again. Michael Penix and company, Bijan Robinson, one of the best running backs in the National Football League, going to Santa Clara, taking on the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers at 4-2, another team that has injuries galore. Can they respond? Can they continue to improve upon that good record in that great division. The Rams looking like they're going to win in Jacksonville and London right now. They're going to improve to 5-2. The Seattle Seahawks, on the other hand, they play on Monday Night Football. Are they going to have to keep pace with those two other good divisions in the NFC West? All eyes on San Francisco. That is your quick look into Week 7 of the NFL season, presented by Jay Zolo & Associates, which is your leading certified QuickBooks Pro advisor firm. Headline hierarchy coming up on the other side. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Near left, H2 chip, double drag, goes, halfback balloon, dummy spot call, hard three.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
A lot of good games last night in the college slate. All these good college games, including Miami losing. How about that? Wisconsin got shut out by Ohio State for the second straight week at home. How about that? Unbelievable. But a lot of good SEC battles. Alabama looks like one of the more formidable teams in the SEC, in the country. Georgia had a huge win against Ole Miss at home. They have a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way, probably thrust themselves into the playoff consideration as long as they don't hiccup here the last couple of weeks. But all this got college action. It's got me jazzed for the Boca Raton Bowl. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl is kicking off its 12th year this year. It's going to be Tuesday, December 23rd. Mark your calendars, 2 p.m. at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. The game is going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the Group of Five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information can be found at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl and Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as we inch closer to that 2025 Boca Raton Bowl. Once again, Tuesday, December 23rd, Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. All right, so what Cade does every week is he puts together five headlines. He finds them himself, and these five headlines, Cade is going to give it to me in a random order. It is my job to determine which one is the most important, which one are the biggest ones. I'm going to rank them 1 through 5 blindly. Let's do a little headline hierarchy.
Five mystery storylines from the National Football League.
I thought this would be purposeful on Cade's part.
One Colin Russo hoping to not bury the lead.
This is not a big time headline.
It's time for the headline hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
What up, Colin? It is the headline hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet, and we are going to start this whole thing off with a bonus headline. You do not have to rank this. It just needs to be addressed. Because apparently, Colin Russo and Mike Rizzo cannot count.
Okay.
If you're listening to Russo and Rizzo, weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m., they do a segment where they put their top 10 NFL teams together. And it's usually on Thursdays. And the chaos that ensued was just glorious because you could have seen it from a mile away. So you could hear on the broadcast that they had a bank of teams that they wanted to then rank 1 to 10.
And we start from 10 to 1.
Correct. And halfway through, you could tell that their bank was a little more than what they had left.
And I was getting confused,
on the leaderboard.
I was circling back. I was getting confused.
So let's go back. This is number 5. And Rizzo counts out the bank of teams that you have left for number 5.
Hold on. My bad. Let's try that again.
Let's take a listen.
On two.
Number 5.
All right. So you got Seattle. You got the Rams. You got Green Bay. Colts. Lions.
Let's eliminate
Tampa.
Colts, Tampa.
If you're counting, that would be 6.
Why number 5?
With then, 5 left. So I'm listening to the radio because I'm a huge fan, and I'm thinking to myself, huh, wonder when they're going to realize this. So later on in the program, at number 2.
Let's move on.
Number 2.
Because I think here, we got to make one thing clear. Seattle is probably going to get left out of the top 10.
See, the thing is, Mike realized that, and then he wants to take Seattle out.
Can we screw this up? Seattle's in this.
Are they?
Yes.
Are they?
Not a question. Not a question. Did we screw this up? Did we really?
We did, because number 2 would be the Colts, number 1 would be
Tampa. Doing the mental processing in his head, so you eventually reordered everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. Mike wanted to die on the hill and leave Seattle out. Seattle was in it last week. Why the hell would they be out?
Yeah.
Why would they be out? I was like, Mike, they're in. I mean, we screwed this up. We got to change something.
The anticipation for for the absolute breakdown that would occur in the top two was amazing to listen to. So y'all need to work on that.
Wow.
But let's actually get to
some
real...
It is confusing
real...
sometimes because I'm like thinking through...
Well, you guys don't like talk about it beforehand. You guys do it like... And that's what's so great is that you do the top 10 live. It's not like you order it and then reveal it. You guys actually debate about it.
We
you
figure
actually
it out.
Put
yeah.
it together.
Which it's just better. It's just... We were destined to screw that up eventually. It so it's been great. Like 4 or 5 weeks of it. We're destined to screw that up eventually.
So let's get into some real headlines. I mentioned how I'm very interested in this Cowboys game, not necessarily because of the two teams, but because of who's actually playing for those teams, because C.D. Lamb is back week 7, and he's back in for the Cowboys. Now their full offensive production is ready. On the other hand, the Washington Commanders are now without Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, and Noah Brown. Their top three wide receivers all gone. Austin Eckler has been gone for quite a few weeks now. Is a very ruggedy Washington Commanders team that is going up against a now fully loaded Cowboys team. With these two things in mind, your thoughts on this game?
This is one of the bigger games of the day. I'm debating between 2 and 3. I'm going to loosely put this at 2. That's the thing I'm most interested to. I'm going to put this at two. I could see myself getting burned here, but I'm gonna roll the dice. The Cowboy-Commander game, big implicating game for the NFC East, because if you think about it, the Washington Commanders, if they want to be a team that is going to get the wild card bid, you're going to have to keep pace with a lot of these other teams, especially in that NFC West. And NFC West, the Rams just scored again. It's 21-0.
Woo!
They're probably going to move to 5-2. San Francisco 49ers, I know they got a home game tonight. They could always lose. But Seattle Seahawks, they got the Texans tomorrow. They could lose that game. But at least you got one of them that are 5-2. The other two are going to be 4. You might have 2 or 3 teams that have 5 wins. If you're Washington, you can't be sitting there at 3. Not with the Chiefs and the Lions still on the schedule. I don't like that. Big game. This is going to be 2.
All right, sounds good. What I currently think is the biggest game of the weekend is actually the first game of the doubleheader on Monday night, and that would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to the Detroit Lions. Biggest thing for the Bucs, Mike Evans is now back. So a lot of wide receivers hurt earlier in the season are coming back, not with Chris Godwin yet, but Mecca Buka
is a game time decision.
Is iffy right now, but at least they will have one of their star wide receivers in the game, Mike Evans, going up against the Detroit Lions. How do you think that will impact the Bucs' chances?
The thing is, I don't like the Bucs in this game. I actually like Detroit. Detroit coming off a loss have been very, very good throughout Dan Campbell's last couple of years here. And on top of that, it's in Detroit. I know Tampa Bay always plays Detroit pretty well. I would take Detroit here. I would take Detroit scoring a lot of points. It's going to be a shootout once again. And if without Emeka Egbuka, without Chris Godwin, without a couple of key playmakers, I don't think they'll be able to keep pace. I think the Lions have a better offense than Tampa Bay. I really do think they do. I know Baker's probably playing better than Goff is. I would take the Lions here. That game's the best game of the week. That game's 1.
Yep.
That game's 1.
Cannot be mad at that one. All right, let's get into some fun headlines. You already talked about how much you're interested in this Cleveland game. Let's get into the specifics on how crazy the weather is supposed to be. BrownsNation.com posted an article saying, quote, according to AccuWeather, Sunday's forecast in Cleveland calls for a 98% chance of rain, a 29% chance of thunderstorms, and wind gusts reaching up to 36 miles per hour, end quote. Outside of the fact that these are two terrible teams, what are you looking forward to most in a very wet and a very cold, windy game in Cleveland?
These games are always funny to watch.
Yes.
It's enjoyable not because it's good football, but because it's chaotic. And on top of that, you have two teams that are chaotic teams to begin with. So this game is going to be just a whirlwind of things going wrong. And I think it's going to be the team that has one less thing go completely wrong that is going to win it. This has, 13-11 written all over it with two safeties. This game is going to be something to watch. I have a hard time seeing these teams really go back and forth offensively. Loser of this game, I would say, in my opinion, green light to blow it up. Flush it all out. Get rid of, and if you're going to get rid of something, get rid of everything. General manager, head coach. Get rid of both. We'll see if they do that. This is going to be... I like this game more than the Colt game. This is going to be 3.
All right, sounds good. Well, you already talked about some travel issues or travel debates when it came to the Rams and the Jaguars to London.
I'm in trouble now.
Let's talk about what the Packers had to deal with yesterday, right?
Go ahead.
So, for those who didn't see the article by Rob Domofsky on ESPN.com, the Packers apparently were supposed to leave Green Bay at 1:30 in the afternoon, get into Arizona where they play the Cardinals this afternoon yesterday. 5-hour delay in Green Bay as they had to get a new plane flown in from Detroit to get them to Arizona. They then landed local time in Arizona at 8:32 p.m. and they have a 1:25 kickoff local time today. I don't think this will affect the Packers too much, but Colin, wild travel issues for the Packers.
Wild travel issues. I mean, if the Packers want to sit here and complain that Jacoby Brissett caught them off guard because they were 5 hours delayed on a plane, look no further than what the Rams are doing to Jacksonville. The Rams got to London. They play 9 hours difference in local time, in time difference. 8 hours, excuse me. They play 8 hours in difference. They practice the whole week at Camden Yards in Baltimore. If you've ever been to Camden Yards, it's no Four Seasons. The ballpark is great. City stinks. They stuck out the whole week in Baltimore. Then they got to London about 2 hours ago. And they're dismantling Jacksonville. I can't listen to the Packer fan. I know what's coming. Because the Packer fan is all pissed off about the Brewers. And they're going to say, the Packers. They're going to say, get rid of that. They're going to say, get rid of the head coach if they lose this game. Packer fan, and I know them. Because I went to Wisconsin. Packer fan loves doomsdaying. They're an optimistic bunch, and then a couple hours post after a bad loss, they'll doomsday everything. I don't think this is that implicating of a game for Green Bay if they were to lose, but if they were to come out flat and lose, everybody's going to say get rid of the head coach, and I can't wait to see it. They shouldn't, because he's a great coach, but I can't wait to see it. This could be number five. I do not think this should impact the game.
At the number four slot for you, you already said that you were hoping that you would hear something about Chargers and Colts in this headline hierarchy. Yeah. It's not about the game we're going to talk about.
Okay.
The Colts officially put Charvarius Ward on the IR with a concussion after colliding with his own teammate in last week's warmups that knocked him out of that game, and now he's going to miss at least the next four. Colin, is this the most embarrassing way to get put on the IR?
They had two injuries in that pregame warmup. What is going on?
Yes, because Anthony Richardson also had an eye issue.
Eye issue.
And he's also on the IR.
What is going on? But, this has got to be... Now, luckily, they could get away with it. This is a strong number four. I'm okay with this at four. They could get away with it at 5-1. But, I mean, don't trip over the small things. Seriously. Everything's working for the Colts right now. And they were a team that was plagued with a little bit of inconsistency. Not guys were healthy at the same time. It was just a nightmare. They finally got things comfortable. Don't ruin this. That's all I would say. Well, if you want to watch Miami take on Cleveland, ESPN West Palm Street team is going to be there and hitting the road at Vero Bowl in Vero Beach. It's going to be this Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m., so it's coming up soon. Enjoy game day specials on Miller Lite Draft and Sun Cruiser Vodka Teas. Plus, we'll be giving away two tickets to a Miami football game, so come join us at Vero Bowl in Vero Beach. Enjoy some ice-cold Miller Lights and Sun Cruisers. You got to be 21 or older to participate, and please drink responsibly. Enjoy some football. Enjoy some good times over at Vero Bowl. That's Kate Chums and Colin Russo. Sunday Huddle will make our picks, put together a couple bets on the other side of things with Blitz the Book. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3.
Philly 88, Dice Right 52, Orlando Right HD.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Download the Hard Rock Bet app today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Get started and put in just $5. Put in $5 into a bet, you win that first bet. You get $150 in bonus bets immediately. It's that easy. It's that quick. Check out the Discover page because Hard Rock Bet is perfectly put together. It's easy to navigate if you're the new player. You don't really know what you're doing in a sports book. But if you're the experienced player in a sports book and you request a lot, you demand a lot, you want the intricacies to make complicated picks, you could do that as well. It caters to both sides. That's why Hard Rock Bet is the best. Discover page also has what other users have put together in terms of their parlays, and you can tap and tag along. It is that easy on the app. Bet MLB, bet NFL, bet college football, put in futures, bet live, go game by game, player props. Kate and I are going to make our player props here momentarily. Do it all on the app. That is Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. All right, Kate, time for us to put our heads together or against each other, and let's put some picks on the board. Let's do a little Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Kate and I are going to make four picks. We're going to make one player prop, which is going to be worth 4 points, and we're going to make three picks draft style on the games against the spread today. Cade, depends on who won last week, on who picks first on the one-pointers. We'll go all the way up to our three-pointers and then make our player prop to finish it. Has to be plus money. What do we have from last week?
So I only got my player prop. So I got 4 points. You went 4 for 4.
Yeah, you're right, I did.
10 points. So hoorah. A great catch-up for
you.
I needed that. Total points right now, I'm at 35. You're at 27, but you get to pick first, my friend.
All right, I'm going to start with the... Can I take a live line?
Yeah, right?
No, I'm not going to. Jacksonville's plus 18.5, I was just going to say. That is ridiculous. I'm going to take the Browns today. That's going to be my one-pointer. I do think the Dolphins are going to be the team that blow it up after this. I can't believe I'm betting on Cleveland here. But this is going to be a game that I think will be the demise of the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to take Cleveland first pick of the draft in my one-pointer. Cade, you follow us up. What do you got?
I do not want to get caught in stuff that has either helped me. I seem to be taking the same picks each and every week. Give me Indianapolis plus 2. I think Indianapolis, I'm still loving their offense. They're still scoring 30 points a game, and the injuries for the LA Chargers are ultimately going to be their downfall, even if they're in LA, and even if that was the only place the Colts have lost so far this season. I still like the Colts as my one-pointer.
I'm going to take another 4 o'clock game. I'm going to take the home team. Dallas Cowboys are minus 1 on Hard Rock Bet. I'm going to take Dallas here, getting healthier. They need the game. Offensively, they're going to be able to score. This is essentially a pick 'em. I think Dallas is going to win the game. So sign me up for Dallas minus 1. Okay, that's my 2-pointer. What is your 2-pointer?
I really wanted that as my 2-pointer. I'm going to shift gears. I'll go back to the 1 o'clock slate. Listen, as much as Philly has been reeling, everything is going against Philly today. Minnesota Vikings coming off a bye, great defense. I know they've got a lot of injuries, but Philly is a good team, and they will show why they are a good team today. They've had Minnesota's number historically. Carson Wentz going against his old team. Don't know how that'll affect him. I expect Philly, after a long week to simmer on that embarrassing loss to the New York Giants. I think they come out today and show us a lot of stuff. Philly minus 2 on the road for my 2-pointer.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think Philly is going to respond here strongly. I'm going to take New England. New England is minus 6.5 at Tennessee. I don't like taking a road favorite like that, but this is going to be Mike Vrabel's revenge game. New England has played great. Tennessee has already gotten their win out of the way. First game post-head coach, sometimes they play well. I don't think this will be one of those times. I think it'll be a little disoriented, and I do think that the New England Patriots are going to play strongly here. Move on to next week. Minus 6.5, that'll be my 3-pointer.
On paper, that seems like a no-brainer, but the fact that Tennessee is playing with their new head coach scares me from actually confidently picking it, but I can't hate it. All right. You mentioned the Seattle Seahawks looking to stay in that division with a hot Rams team and a hot San Francisco team. What you failed to mention is that they're playing the Houston Texans, who are coming off a bye and coming off of 2 blowout wins. Number 1 defense in the NFL and technically top 4 scoring offense, which is not true, but statistically.
Yeah. Let's be fair. I mean,
but
geez.
They have a lot to prove. They're looking to get back on 500 on the year. I think Seattle is ridiculously good. I think they are one of the unspoken dominant teams in the NFC.
Only team in the NFL that is top 4 in offense, defense, and special teams.
And I think they're going to prove it. I am betting on the Seattle Seahawks at minus what the line is right now, minus 3. I'm praying Houston can stay into it. but I'm going to prepare myself for the worst, and I'll put my money on the other team just in case.
Yeah, Seattle tore apart that Jacksonville last week.
They did.
Pulling apart.
They did, and I'm scared that now Houston's coming off a bye. Houston is in the best position possible to win this game, but just in case, I'll put my money on Seattle.
Yeah, some teams are not also... not every team is great off of a bye. Packers are another team that have traditionally not been great post-bye either. It depends on team by team. My player prop plus money to record 40-plus rush yards today. I know it's going to be a big key for that defense. Jackson Dart's going to run the ball. He's going to get 40-plus rush yards. It's plus 120 in the Hard Rock Bet app. He's not the most prolific thrower in the world. He's not even close, to be honest with you. But they're going to run the ball. And they're going to do it hell or high water. 40-plus rush yards for Jackson Dart, plus 120. Sign me up. That's my player prop.
As much as you don't think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to survive against the Detroit Lions, I do believe, since it's going to be so high scoring, Baker Mayfield's going to have to do a ton. And I think he's got the tight ends and now Mike Evans to do it. I'm not necessarily going to say who wins or loses, but plus 180, you've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or you've got Baker Mayfield himself to go for over 275 yards. Big day from Baker Mayfield.
That's a big day.
Huge day, huge shootout. You'd see both teams score high 20s, low 30s in this game. A lot of stuff is going to be on his arm in the fourth quarter, and I think he makes it happen for over 275 yards for my player prop.
A lot riding on those Monday night games for Cade this week, so we'll see what happens. That's our...
It's a great slate.
That's the book. Yeah,
good.
I hate the doubleheader. I hate the 10 o'clock kickoff of that second game.
I'm pretty sad about that.
That's a joke. And I understand last week they had the doubleheader where it was the 7:15, 8:15. They should only have one game. Marathon football watching is for weekends. It's not for Monday night.
That's I agree.
That would be my takeaway on that front. But big thanks to Cade Chumsen for making our picks, keeping us up over the airs, our waves today. If you miss any of Sunday Huddle, go listen back on the ESPN South Florida app or on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, or search up Sunday Huddle. We got packed local programming this week. You got Theoretically Speaking for 2 to 4 weekdays, and Russo and Rizzo with myself and Mike Rizzo, 4 to 6 weekdays. We appreciate you staying aboard with us for your Sunday drive. Enjoy some Week 7 action. Jacksonville goes into halftime down 21-0. Sean McVay's like the best coach in the history of the NFL going into halftime with a lead. Doesn't look great. Doesn't look great. That's Cade Chumsen. Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. We'll see you next week. Same time. Let's have some fun. Enjoy the Sunday right here on ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.